Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ghouls. That foghorn means it's Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. And we're actually bringing you a very good movie this evening. And I'm tonight being joined by Carl. How's it going, Carl?
Kind of. You're kind of being joined? We are joined at the hip. You're my...
Yes.
Never mind. Hello, Doc. And by the way, you know, I'm sorry about the gas.
Okay, no problem.
You know, that was not the foghorn. That was me. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's why the system locked up. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. I have rice and beans. What can I tell you?
You little stinker.
I'm 6'3", I'm a little bigger than a little. Okay, never mind.
Well, this past weekend I had the opportunity to go visit our friend Joey Vento and family, and his family put on a show with the Haunted Barn of Picnic at Hanging Rock. Now, I had known nothing about Picnic at Hanging Rock, except for it was based on a book that could be based on the true happenings of something really strange that happened at Hanging Rock. Now, the movie was made back in 1975 and stars Rachel Roberts, Dominic Guard, Helen Morris, Vivian Gray, and Jackie Weaver. And it was directed by Peter Weir. And I'll tell you, this Peter Weir has got some really, really good directing jobs, without a doubt. So anyway, what happens in Picnic and Hanging Rock? Well, the way I could describe it, I described it to Boo, was this. It was one of the most beautifully creepy horror films where nothing happens. And when I say nothing happens, I mean nothing, no jump scares, no monsters, no blood guts, no TNA, just good, atmospheric, mysterious happenings. And that's a big thing about this flick. It's very classy. It's very beautiful. The scenery is insanely gorgeous. The young women who are in the movie are also very beautiful. And I'm not saying that in a sexual manner. I'm saying that as they help the film, because, like I said, the cinematography is gorgeous. It's just an awe-inspiring, eyeball-meltingly beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
and
it's one of the things that there is a Criterion edition of this out, by the way. So if you want to see it, I would definitely recommend the Criterion edition of this. It's Peter Weir is a really fine director. His first movie was a film that I love called The Cars That Ate Paris. And then he followed up with this one. Another film that was directly after this film is The Last Wave, which is another really eerie, supernatural, what the fuck is going on film. And then he also did Master and Commander here in the States. He did The Truman Show. He's done so many wonderful films. And he's really, really good. And the film is basically a mystery. What Doc didn't tell you was the teacher and these three students go up to Hanging Rock for a picnic, and the three girls disappear. And so the teacher, all eyes are on her and the students and everything. It's really about the aftermath of the event and how it impacts her and what happens to the teacher. And it's just, it's really, really eerie. I don't know if you call it a ghost story. It's not really a ghost story. It's a disappearance story, but still, they haven't figured out, you know, what happened.
Right,
they don't tell you in this movie. And I think that's
like
one of the great things about this film. It doesn't explain itself. Go ahead, Doc.
Right. It's like a paranormal experience type thing. The best way I could describe it is like a temporal rift happens. Basically, it's like the universe sneezes and people disappear. That's happened before. Okay, tinfoil hat time. It's happened before. It'll happen again. That type of thing. Now, as a little side note, I actually thought I experienced a temporal rift once myself. It was the first or second year I was going to go to Monster Bash, and I was sitting on the ground next to my truck, and all of a sudden I got hit by something. I don't know what the hell. At the time I did not know what the hell it was. Everything just blasted, and all of a sudden there was no sound. There were no birds chirping. There was nothing for about a good 30 seconds. I was like, what the hell just happened? As it turns out, it was actually an earthquake, but still, it was just like, whoa. So, yeah, the girls that we mentioned, actually Carl mentioned, are from an all-girls college in Australia. And they were around the 1900s. And there's one thing I really wanted to say about this film is that back in the 70s, there was a lot of, when there was like an all-girls situation, there was a lot of erotic things happening. Of course, you know, a lot of nudity. And of course.
I just say one word, Doc?
Yes.
One of my favorite words. Nunsploitation.
Yeah.
Nuns. No,
right.
Never mind. Sorry.
Exactly. But Peter Weir and his crew were able to show the love that some of these girls had for each other. I mean, we're talking more than a love of companionship, like an actual, feelings of love and like, I want to be with you type.
There's a couple chase kisses, so on and so forth. Okay.
Yeah, but it's so tastefully done. There's no, like, in-your-faceness about it. It's very delicate. It's very proper. It's very classy. I was very impressed by that. And the cinematography is absolutely insane in this movie. The different camera angles that they use, the sound and music. Actually won an Academy Award, from what I hear. And
yes.
It's just
not an Academy Award, an Australian Award. Forget what they call it in Australia.
It's just so beautiful and so eerie, and it makes you ask every couple seconds. In my head, I was thinking, what's happening? What's going to happen next? But I also had this feeling of, okay, something's going to like jump out and scare the crap out of me, which there are no jump scares in this film. It's just the atmosphere makes it feel creepy, like there is something seriously wrong and they can't get to the bottom of it. And that's what drove a lot of people crazy about this movie, like in a bad way, that there was no, there, well, you really can't spoil an ending if there isn't an ending. They did not solve the mystery by the end. And a lot of people in the American audiences were like, what the hell is this? This isn't right. But that's the way a lot of movies from other countries end, is that there really is no end or it's another beginning, that type of thing.
Right. There's a couple things I want to mention here very briefly. So in the 70s, from about 73, 74, up until about 81, 82, was the burgeoning of the Australian film industry. Away from what we now call exploitation to more art house works. Peter Weir was one director. Another director is Fred Shepsey. He did Breaker Morant. He also did one of my favorite Steve Martin films, Roxanne. But you have these directors that were doing these beautiful films, very, very unique. And another one is Gallipoli, of course. But just really fine films and not exploitation at all, but much more art house. And that's where this all comes from. So in any of these films, you're talking about excellent photography. You're talking about a very reserved way of storytelling. And also in this case, that the audience makes up its mind. These things aren't spoon-fed to you. You have to make up your own decision what happened to the girls, or, you know, what the ending of Breaker ran, whether or not it's right or not, or whatever the case would be. And so Australian film at that time was really, really coming to the fore. Okay, go ahead, Doc. Sorry to hijack.
No, you did a wonderful job at hijacking. So don't worry about it. Yeah. It was just, my mind went to so many different places, you know, trying to figure out what happened, you know, different theories, that it made the movie even better and more suspenseful to me. It was just, this movie is like watching a dream.
Mm-hmm.
From the way that they use the camera filters to the sound to the way the actresses move. I mean, most of the young ladies in this movie were not professional actresses. They were college kids from a couple, you know, I would say a couple territories over. They were not actresses. And that's why there's very little dialogue, but everything is done so well with movement and pantomime and facial expressions and slow motion. It's just so, it's mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so.
And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have seen Picnic at Hanging Rock on the Criterion Collection all over the place. And I have not had an inkling to buy it until now. And this is a movie that I, Mr. Monster Movies, Cheeseball, so-and-so, will put in my collection. And this is a absolute work of art. So there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's one last thing.
Two actresses I want to mention here, okay?
Sure.
One is Rachel Roberts, who plays the headmistress. And Rachel Roberts, you might not know the name. She was a very, very fine British theater actress. She also worked a lot with Lindsay Anderson, one of my favorite directors, in his first film, The Sporting Life, but also in a film that I recommend highly called Oh Lucky Man, where she plays several characters in the film. But unfortunately, she had a very, very tough life. She dealt with mental illness, and unfortunately, in the 1980s, she committed suicide, and it's unfortunate. But if you ever get a chance to see her act, and certainly in this film too, please do. But I would recommend this Sporting Life and Oh Lucky Man, two films by Lindsay Anderson for her. The other one is Jackie Weaver, who plays one of the girls. She's now better known for a film that came out a number of years ago called Animal Kingdom. She also was in Silver Linings Playbook, and she's been in a number of different films now. This film was not her first film, but it was one of her first major films, and certainly her first film that came over to the U.S. Definitely want to mention Jackie Weaver on this too. Okay, Doc, back to you.
Yes, Danae told me, I forgot the gentleman's name, but he was one of the actors in this movie. He played the Australian stable boy. He actually is the main bad guy in Wolf Creek 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll get you that name.
Yep.
Give me a second.
And there's a couple things that I don't want to spoil in the movie, but there's a lot of there's a lot of really interesting imagery, and there's a lot of things that are connected that you do not realize until the last 30 seconds of the movie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you just go, holy crap, I didn't see that coming from a mile away.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the actor you were talking about was Tony Llewellyn Jones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I highly suggest everyone, if you want to see a really cool, beautiful, creepy movie, I have to suggest Picnic at Hanging Rock. It is beautiful. And I'll tell you, the soundtrack may be simple, but it's very effective, and it makes your spine tickle, almost like that ASMR stuff that people are doing on YouTube nowadays, but without the ridiculousness. It's just, it's completely, it is an experience to see this movie.
Absolutely.
And I'm gushing. I'm absolutely gushing. That's how impressed I was. I mean, seriously. And I would see it again and again and again. So that's about all I have for Picnic at Hanging Rock. Anything you want to add in, Carl?
No. The only other thing I would suggest is if you like Picnic at Hanging Rock, do check out Peter Weir's next film, which is called The Last Wave, and I recommend that very highly also. That's a very, very unusual film and
yes.
Very much a companion piece to Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Yes, if you do like Australian cinema, I would have to definitely suggest three movies that are definitely more on the hardcore horror end, as in like Blood, Guts, Gore, Monsters. I would have to suggest Hardware. Dust Devil really isn't too horror-ish, but it's pretty darn good. And
no, Dust Devil I would consider horror, but it's more existential.
Yeah.
He's not exactly a monster, but he's definitely supernatural.
Yes. And there's a lot of very dreamlike sequences and feelings to these movies, so definitely check them out. Actually, Hardware is more like a nightmare. But, yeah, it's for everybody else to see. All right, everybody. Mm-hmm. We thank you so much for listening in. Carl, thank you for joining us on the show tonight. And
oh, my
I think we
dog.
Just...
Anytime.
Yes. And next week, there will not be a Carl's Cavern show this Friday, but we're working on something for Saturday. So we will keep everybody up on the BB
Legion.
Unfortunately,
just so everyone knows, something came up, and I actually have an interview for a possible job on Friday night. So everybody just cross your fingers, and maybe I'll become a choir director at a college here in New York City, a small college up in Washington Heights. So we'll see what happens there.
That'd be absolutely fantastic. And as everybody can tell, my voice did come back. I'm still a little gravelly here and there, but that's all right. Sunday's Sludge Pit show. We're still working on that. We're going to settle on something within the next day or two, and we'll post it up on our Deviant Legion Facebook page, and I'll be also sharing the things that we do on my Sludge Industries page.
I want to make this announcement for everyone that a week from this Friday, we're going to have a new podcaster with us, and it'll be his first show. And that would be Adam Perens, and we're going to welcome Adam onto to the DLN family. So that'll be really important. That happens a week from this Friday.
Excellent. All right. Sounds like we've got like a whole ton of awesome for everybody. So we appreciate everyone listening in, and I think the ending foghorn is coming up, or maybe somebody's got a really bad case of gas. I don't know. We'll figure it out from there. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.